that, Lord, we are able to know your will for us and we are able to leave that world. Thank you that and you will do this for us. For Jesus' sake. Amen. 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 We have been looking at praise and worship, the believer's fault, and I try to give kind of an overview very first time together at what worship is all about. And then last week we considered worshiping God through praise. Worshiping God through praise. Today we look at worshiping God through service. Worshiping God through service. I'm going to read from Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 11, and 1 Peter 4, verse 7 to 11. Romans 12, 1 to 11. Therefore, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is ritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so true, we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to giving, let's use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our service, in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not slack in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. I'm reading from First Peter chapter 4, from verse 7 to 11. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another, and listen, love covers a multitude of sins. Hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, we explained that worship has to do with the totality of our response to God. For who God is and what God has done through Jesus. The totality of our response. And it is from that premise that we go on. This week we looked at the fact that we part of the response to God is to praise him. And today we are looking at another aspect to God. And this aspect of our response is to serve God. If you read the whole of the Bible, especially in the New Testament, you would find a lot of examples. There is of the need for us believers in the Lord to respond to God through service. The first question we then ask is, what is it? What is this thing we are calling service? Two Greek words are both translated service. One is diakonia. And this has to do with service of any kind. And let me emphasize, any kind of service. Whether it is sweeping, whether it's administering in an office, whether it be taking care of someone who is sick, or whether it is preaching gospel, it is all service. And we get liturgy, that word is liturgy. And this word is used in New Testament, especially for sacred ministrations. So it includes priestly service. It's also used for the practical faith of members of the church. The practical faith. It's important to understand that Christianity is a faith that we just profess. Christianity is a life, and it must be lived practically. I remember while in Britain, I visited a church, and anytime church ends, when we had finished with our service, this is how the minister was out. We are finished with our worship, but service has done. We came to God, prayed, and we came to listen to his word. And that didn't work. But then that is not the end of it. That is not the end of our life. It is the beginning of service. Now, whatever we have come to the world to do and put, let us practice our faith. And so the word liturgia, even though specifically it is used for priestly, it is also used for Christians and the way we act practically, the way we demonstrate our faith. So when we are serving, we are practically demonstrating our faith in the Lord. And it's very interesting, he would often compare, in many of the parables, he compared people to servants. Have you asked the question, why so much about servants and about service? Because that is what he came to do, the Son of Man, and that was last Sunday. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And himself are also called to serve. So when Jesus spoke to his servant disciples on servanthood, he had both aspects, diakonia and liturgia in mind. Both practically and the priestly office. From the Methodist background, and I believe that we know about this doctrine of the priesthood of all. So we have the belief, and I think it's not only Methodist, we believe that every Christian is a priest. And so if every Christian is a priest, then we are expected to offer service to God, both sacred service to God, and also in our communities, in our homes, at our workplaces, practicalize our faith. So we are called to render service to God as the one who has supreme authority, as the one to whom we owe allegiance. Now, generally, if you look at Jesus' teachings on service, these three words are very, very important. Allegiance, obedience, responsibility. We serve God because we owe allegiance to him. For what God has done for us, we owe allegiance to him. We serve God in response to him. Because of that allegiance we owe to the Lord, we are obedient to him. Because of that allegiance, we become responsible people. So don't forget these three words: allegiance, obedience. And we demonstrate that obedience through responsibility. Responsibility wherever we find ourselves, whether it is in church or it is in the context of. So when we are talking about service, we are talking about the practical things we do every day in our everyday lives. We'll come to talk more about that in a while. Why do we have to serve? I think we are saying that we are talking about worship, praise and worship, and we are saying that worship is our response to God for what God has done. God has done something for us, and therefore we are responding to Him and responding to God in service. Years ago, Reverend Livingston, former moderator of the EP Church, who was my principal, gave us a definition of the church. And that has with me. It helps me to understand who am I as part of the church. And he said the church is a community of people who are both participants in and agents of God's creative and redemptive activity. Community of people who are both participants in and agents of God's creative and redemptive activity. And I think that this definition helps us to understand the subject we are talking about. The community of those who are participants in God's creative and redemptive activity. We are participants in God's creative activity. God has created us and God has redeemed us. So we have participated in creative activity. We have participated in that redemptive activity of God. But it doesn't end there. Unfortunately, for many people, that is all Christianity is about. I have been delivered. I have been redeemed. I'm saved. And that is the end. But why were you saved? And that Obama is saying that we are not only participants in God's creative and redemptive activity, we are also agents of God's creative and redemptive activity. So when we have been redeemed, we become agents through whom God redeems other people, through whom God continues in his work of creating a new creation, through whom God continues with his work of redeeming other people. Whilst I served at LIC, we reflected several times on what we are supposed to be and what we are supposed to be doing. And one day in our reflection, I think it was a retreat of all the leaders, the key people in the church, we had reflected, we had prayed together, and then the Lord just opened our eyes, and one person just came out, slogan became the slogan for LIC. So when you say LIC, the response is saved to serve. We have not been saved to stay here and await the time when God is coming to take us to heaven. We have been saved so that we may become participants in God's ongoing activity in the world. God's ongoing activity of creation, God's ongoing activity of redemption. And I think it's very important that we understand this. So to God, for all that he has done for us, is for us to become agents of God. So that through us, God will continue in this activity. That is why Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Offer yourself so that God will use for this creative and redemptive activity. God continues to be involved in this world. But how is he involved in this world? He is involved in this world through you and I. So first, we serve because we have been redeemed. Because of God's mercy in redeeming us, we are urged. Therefore, I urge you in view of God's mercy. God has been so merciful to us by redeeming us from the pit. Just think about where you were, when we didn't know the Lord. Can you just think about it? When you didn't know the Lord, what would have been your life if you had not known the Lord? How would your life have been like? So because of God's mercy, which he has so demonstrated towards us, we come before him serving him because we are redeemed. It's our response. That is our worship. So Paul says that this is your reasonable or spiritual worship. Other versions use your act of service to the Lord. So in our response to God in worship, we are agents of God's creative and redemptive activity. God has continues to work. And I like the way Saint Teresa of Avila puts it. It's very deep. And this is the way she puts it. Christ has no body. By this she means physical, your human body. Christ has no body now yet but yours. No hands but yours. No feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which is to look out Christ's compassion to the world. Yours the feet which he is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless now. So as it were, Christ continues to work in this world. But how is he working? He is working through my body. He is working through my hands. He is working through my feet. He is working through my eyes. He is working through your hands, your feet, and your eyes. And as we use our hands, our feet, our eyes, our nose, our intellect, what are we doing? We are serving. Hallelujah. And so because of Christ's redemption, he calls us. And Paul puts it beautifully. Isn't it interesting that Paul will always compare the church to the body of Christ? Am I right? That we are parts of a body. You read 1 Corinthians 12, and Paul will look at the church and compare the church to parts of the body. Somebody is the hand, somebody is the feet, somebody is the eye, and so on and so forth. So we are the hands and the feet, the ears to serve God. And as we do that, we participate. So whatever Christ would do here on earth, he is still working. But how is he working on earth? He is working you through you and I. Hallelujah. Now, can you imagine this? Just think about it. How I pray it will be possible that those of us who are redeemed by God, those of us who are ourselves Christians, if we really lived our lives such that our hands and feet and eyes and so on, whatever we are doing with these things, it's like Christ doing them. How would it be like if you come to meet me as a doctor at a hospital? Will it be very different? And I like the way Max Lucado put it. Max Lucado is one of the people I like reading. Please, if you find any book by Max Lucado, buy and read. He has several books at Lynch. And several years ago, I got one of his books. The title of the book is Just Like Jesus. And that just like Jesus is part of a full sentence. That God loves you the way you are, but he doesn't want you to remain the same way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. And he says that imagine God sent you to his theater and then he removed your heart and then he put in Jesus' heart into you and then closed you up, revived you. And he asked the question, how will it be like for you? How would your life be? Will it be different? If you have Jesus' heart controlling your hands and your feet and your eyes. So just think about it. And that is why I find St. Teresa's words very, very revealing and instructive. That if I'm to see myself as Christ manifested in physical form, whatever I'm doing, do it. In fact, Max Lucado even asked the question that when you get yourself, when you are in the traffic and somebody just crosses you, how would you respond? If it is the heart of Christ that is in you, will there be a difference in your response? If you are the receptionist and somebody comes and the person is messing up, how would you respond if you had the heart of Christ? Now, because of the mercies of God, we are called to serve. And secondly, service is the means by which this body of Christ is built up. You know, the church is described as the body. And part of God's creative and redemptive activity is building up this body. And if you read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, you'll find out that he made some from verse 11, he made some to be apostles, some to be prophets, evangelists, and teachers. For what? For the works of service, for the equip of the saints, until we all reach maturity, attaining to the full measure of that of Christ. So as we serve one another, Christ continues to build the body until that kind of body that God is looking for will be achieved here on this earth. And as we do that, we are serving God. And 1 Peter 4:11 also says that when we serve God, what we are doing is that we are bringing glory to God. So God is glorified in people who praise him for his grace that comes through to them. Now, can you imagine it? If you have done, let's say you are a nurse and then somebody comes to the hospital and with a Christian love. I mean, even as I say this, was it on Monday, I met at Kolebu, a retired nurse. And she just saw me, I know you on TV. And then she just mentioned my name. Okay, she came to me and talked. And she's a very, very dedicated Christian. She was saying she took her work as a ministry. Because if he says the doctor is like the evangelist, I mean, looks after you and then hands you over to the nurse. The nurse is the pastor. I'm going to be with you for some time. Attend to you. And she takes advantage of that. Hallelujah. She takes advantage of that to minister to the person that she is nursing. Now, can you imagine if someone has been ministered to in such a manner and the person gets well, and the glory that will be given to God? God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this healing as a result of somebody's service. Hallelujah. So when we are serving God, it's an aspect of bringing glory to God. Serving God. Wherever we find ourselves, people begin to glorify the name of God. Especially in our country. If you come somewhere and then you deal with records. And I mean, situations you want to, you are looking for some record and all kinds of things are happening. But you are serious with your work. Somebody comes to you and then immediately you go through the processes. Here is your record. Can you imagine how the person will praise God? They go back. Oh, today I went and this secretary, the way she acted, within a short time, I have gotten my records. Thanks be to God. Why are they thanking God? Because of her service. Hallelujah. So our service brings glory to God. Our service gives people the opportunity to offer praise, to offer glory to God. And then we have various illustrations in the Bible that tells us that everyone is important regarding our response to God. There is nobody's service that is not important. And recently, this has really come to me very, very strongly. And I'm reflecting on it. Because it seems to me that in Christianity today, we have created a hierarchy. And so some services are more important than others. That is unbiblical. It is not from the Bible. In fact, somebody even said at the Ephesians chapter 4, apostles are mentioned before prophets and evangelists. So there was one evangelist speaking. He says that because of that, the evangelists are than the pastors, because their names come before the names of the pastors come. What ignorance is? The Bible doesn't tell us. But the Bible's teaching, if you read 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Now listen. But to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Each of us. Therefore, everybody has been given a certain what? Grace. In order to serve. So, verse 10a of 1 Peter chapter 4 says, each one should use whatever gift he has received. Serve whatever gift. Take it that my gift is teaching. And therefore, I come to reach. Therefore, I go elsewhere. I continue teaching. That is the gift that God has given to me. Praise the Lord for that. For somebody, the gift is not teaching. And I said somewhere that the work I'm doing here is not more important than the person who comes to sweep the chapel. But unfortunately, we have created a certain kind of what? Hierarchy. And so some kind of service is far more important than other kinds of what? Of service. That an error. That is not the teaching of the Bible. Teaching of the Bible that everybody has been given a gift. Look at the parable. Not everyone was given the same. You read the parable very carefully. God gave out the talents according to what? Their abilities. God has. He knows me. He knows you. He knows what you can do. He knows what I can do. And therefore, God gives me a gift to use in his service. And that is all God wants me to do. He doesn't want me to covet another person's gift. The fact that our gifts bring us to the forefront so everybody sees us doesn't mean that we are more important than the others who do not front. If we can get this understanding of what service of God is, it will change a lot of things. I now serve at Aquitaman Circuit of the Methodist Church. And one Saturday, we meet some people in the church to pray. We're there in Osofo's office when we heard some young people by the pulpit area praying. So after our prayers, we came to people praying. And I engaged in a discussion with one of them. And he said that, well, every Saturday they come and they stand by the pulpit to pray. That whoever would come to stand on the pulpit to pray, God will use him to minister. In fact, if I had not gone there that Saturday night, I would never have known. Please, are you getting me? That some people are even doing what? Praying for those who are coming to preach. And so I go to preach, and my sermon touches heart, and I think that I'm the one who has done it. That's a mistake. You may have heard of this story. It's Reverend Dr. Bwajime Nsah, in one of the tune episodes, told a story he titled The Unknown Warrior. It has to do with a woman who had an accident and as a result got bedridden, couldn't go anywhere. A Christian woman. Initially, she was angry with God. God, why me? You know how we become angry with God. And then as she reflected, it came to a point where she felt that, well, even in the situation I find myself, I can serve God. What am I going to do to serve God? I don't go anywhere 24/7 in the house. I'm going to pray for the church. So she began praying for her church. She began praying that there will be revival in her church. She was living with her sister. And as she prayed in expectation, expecting that God will answer the prayer. So every time sister went to church and then came back, you ask the sister, is anything happening? Is God answering the prayers? And the sister would say, well, nothing yet. But she didn't lose you to pray. Then one day the sister came. Sister, something is happening. And a young man came to preach. And God handled that young man the way he ministered the word of God. Amazing. who was this young man, D.L. Moody. And so she devoted her life to pray for the ministry of D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody went the breadth of America, bringing about revival in America. Behind the ministry of D.L. Moody, there was an unknown, somebody praying. Hallelujah. So wherever we find ourselves, we can serve God through that kind of priestly service. You don't need to stand here before you serve God. Amen. You don't need to. Wherever you find yourself, remember that God has not just redeemed you. You are not participating in God's redemptive activity, but you are also an agent of that activity of God. And God wants to use you. So that analogy of the body of Christ and every part of the body being important it is for each one to be involved in service. And with that analogy comes also with the fact for us to be able to serve and to serve well, that is why God gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the works of service. So my duty as a pastor is to equip God so they will be effective in their service. Unfortunately, many people, recently I told some of my friends that this whole idea of calling us reverend is, I think that we should change. They should call us reverend servants. Because the minister means service. Am I right? Servants. The minister is servant. Call us reverend. Know who we really are. Minister, we think of minister as some kind of title and then authority. I'm nothing. I'm just a servant. Would that all of us will recognize ourselves that we are all servants. And my role that God has given me is that I am supposed to equip the people of God. So that when the people of God are so equipped, wherever they find themselves, they would faithfully, effectively serve God. And through their service, God will be glorified, will be honored, God will be exalted, God will be adored. Are you serving God? And how are you serving God? So how do we serve God? Romans gives us ideas. Romans chapter 12 that we read. So Paul talks about, first, we serve God by dedicating our bodies, our mind, and our will. Being totally dedicated to God. Devoted. Dedicated. When we say somebody is dedicated to this, the person is exclusively assigned to, a particular task. And dedication of our bodies as a living sacrifice. Last time we were explaining what sacrifices. In the Bible, there are two sacrifices. The first is that of Isaac, who willingly put it on the altar and would have died in obedience to God, to God's will. And the second person is Jesus. So we must dedicate our body so that we can tell God that here am I. Here am I, Lord. Do you know that song? Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your... Okay, he's the key for me. I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, who will bear my love to them. Here am I, Lord. And look at the other one. Hark the voice of Jesus calling. That is a common one. Who would go and work today. Fields are white and harvest will bear me. Here am I, Lord. That is dedication of our bodies. And the word that Paul uses, present your bodies, the word means to present once and for all. So you are once and for all dedicated to God. And I like the way the young people say they are sold out to Jesus. I have a young friend and his email address is he's crazy for Christ. The young ones have their own way of capturing these things. Sold out for Jesus. Once and for all dedication. Once and for all commitment. And so, once our bodies are dedicated once and for all to Jesus, the bodies do not belong to us anymore. You know, we only become stewards. Who is a steward? A steward is someone who has been entrusted with another person's property to take care of. So if my body is dedicated to God, I become a steward of my body. So I don't use my body for what I want to use it for. I use my body for one to whom it belongs, wants me to use it for. So if God tells me to use it for this, that is what I use it for. Dedication of our bodies. And not only the dedication of our bodies, but also the dedication of our minds. Let me read Romans 12, 1 and 2 again. It's very instructive for us to get that scripture very clearly. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Spiritual. Do not to this, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So first, present your body, renew your mind. We serve God by renewing our minds. Renewing our minds. And it's so important that we renew our minds. It's so important that we change our minds concerning certain things. And part of the things that we have to change in our mind has to do with this distinction between this is my secular work. Are you getting me? Have you heard that before? Where this is again? Who tells you that is secular? In God's economy, there is nothing that is secular. That work you are calling secular is sacred to the Lord. And so renew your mind about that work and do it with the diligence as to the Lord. And can you imagine if all Christians will do what we call our secular work as to the Lord? Imagine what will happen in our nation. Hallelujah. Can you imagine if all the people seated here, we are not up to that 12, we are not up to 120 who met in the upper room. But I believe that those of us who have been coming to worship are seeking for God to empower us in a very special way so we can affect our world. What I'm discerning that we believe that God wants to use this church for something very wonderful, something very great. Can you imagine if we would open our hearts to the Lord, for the Lord to touch us, for the Lord to transform our minds so that wherever we find ourselves, because of that renewed mind we have, whatever things are doing, we are bringing about transformation to the place. Can you imagine what will happen? And if we infect our nation, if we feel that this is where God wants to begin something in this nation, it doesn't come by just talking about it. It's by this transformation of our minds, the renewal of our minds. Can we dedicate our minds to the Lord that from today I'm going to be different ever, and I will cause people to see the difference in my service? Can I commit myself that way? Hallelujah. And if I do commit myself that way, if you commit yourself that way, you can't imagine what God is going to use you for. Friends, was it Elijah who was so disturbed and felt that all was lost? And God assured him, I still have people. Hallelujah. And I believe in this nation there are still people who have not bowed down to Baal. And I pray that I will be one of those people who have not bowed down to Baal. That you will be one of those people who have not bowed down to Baal. So that wherever we find ourselves, through our service, through our response to God, wherever we find ourselves working, will bring transformation, will bring change. So we present our bodies. God, my body is yours. Use me as you want. We present, we dedicate our minds, we renew our minds concerning the way we have been thinking about things, concerning the way we have been doing things. And then we dedicate our will. You know, Jesus dedicated his will. It came to a time it was difficult. And yet Jesus said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Today we have come a time in Christianity, the Lord's Prayer, we seem to have changed it. Thy will be done has been changed to our will be done. And this is the way I sometimes put it. Woe to God if he doesn't do our will for us. Then he's not God. And so today people are seeking and searching for the God who does their will for them. But God will not compromise on his will for our lives. And if we can understand that and appreciate that and walk in his will, and sometimes his will for us is not pleasant to our tastes. It's not. And yet that is his will for us. We can dedicate our will to God, and we can sing with Frances Ridley Havergal, take my life and let be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moment and my days. Take my voice and let me sing. Take my will, make it thine. If we can dedicate it all to God, for God to take and use, and that we are there in the hand of God, just as a potter will mold the clay, we are in his hands. Whatever he wants to do with us, in us, and through us, we just avail ourselves to him. God, have your own way. Have your own way. Can you imagine what will happen? And so if we are going to serve God, the first thing is that we need to dedicate our bodies, our minds, our will. And then from Romans chapter 12, from verse 4 to verse 8, he talks about God giving us different gifts. But he doesn't just talk about the gifts. He talks about how we must use those gifts. And he talks how we use those gifts. He talks about being responsible. Using those gifts with all the passion that is needed. So if your gift is administration, do it to the best of your ability. So everyone has a different gift. Unfortunately, many Christians don't even know where God is calling them to serve. So discern, find out, God, ask the Lord. That was the question Paul asked at the moment of his conversion. Lord, what will you have me to do? So God, what is it you want me to do? And when God shows you, and when God, you recognize the gift that God has given you, develop that gift, that you will use it and you will use it well. If you don't develop that gift, if the way I used to preach ago is the same way I'm preaching, it will be very terrible. I must develop it. I must excel in the use of whatever gift God has given me. And then I must deploy the gift. So faithfulness in the use of our gifts. First, dedication of our bodies, our mind, and our will. Second, faithfulness in the use of whatever gifts God has given us. But thirdly, Romans 12 and verse 11. As we are faithful in the use of our gifts, Paul says, never be lacking in zeal, but rather to keep the spiritual fervor as we serve the Lord. There must be a balance. A balance of spiritual fervor and the way the practical activities you are doing. Some people are doing all the practical activities and then spiritually they are almost dead. Some people are also spiritually, so the time that they have to work it at the workplace, they are using it to pray. Not right. Hallelujah. Maintaining a balance between the practical service offering and your spiritual fervor. That balance is so, so, so important. And even whilst in secondary school, I mean, they taught us about balance. That even when we are going to write our examinations, we're told to pray that even if you don't stay, go work miracles. So pray. And after you have done that, study very hard so that even if you don't pray, are you getting me? Maintain the balance so that if you pray and pray and pray and then you don't study, the air follow. They will follow you. And then you will disgrace the Lord. So study and study and study and then pray and pray and pray. Maintain the balance. And that is what Charles Wesley puts it. Still let God the Holy Spirit. I like that stanza of MHB 386. Jesus, confirm my heart desire to work and speak and think for thee. But as I work and speak and think for thee, still add that holy fire. Because you can work and speak and think without guarding the holy fire. That lands there. So work. Think for the Lord. Work for the Lord. Speak for the Lord. But as you do that, maintain the holy fire and still stir up thy gift in me. Jesus confirmed my heart's desire. Let me read to you a portion of Spurgeon's comment on this verse, Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. It's a very interesting commentary. You have heard of Spurgeon, great preacher. This is what he says. The ordinary duties of our calling, we are not called upon it. Listen, we are not to neglect the shop for the sanctuary. Neglect the shop for the sanctuary. Or the counting house for the class meeting. The legs of a fool are not evil. But the holiness of a believer should always be well arranged. Whatever our position in life may be, so to therein as to commend ourselves for diligence and uprightness, both to the church and to the world. The Christian is not to be a worse tradesman because of his religion, but a better. He is not a less skilled mechanic, but he is to be all the more careful in his work. It were pity indeed. And I like this. It were a pity indeed if Paul's tents were the worst in the store. And hideous purples of the poorest die. At the same time, observe how the next clause calls our equal attention to the higher and more spiritual matter. Be fervent in spirit. We must not neglect spiritual because of the present demands of the temporal. Perhaps we are more likely to forget this precept than the former. Therefore, let it be more to heart. We are to maintain the holy fire within our souls constantly, constantly burning. For that is the meaning of fervent. Our love to God merely be there in a small degree, but it must exist as a vigorous frame. Our spirit must be kept warmly zealous, burned affectionately. Our spiritual nature is to glow like coals of fire. The keystone of the ark of life is to be desire God's glory. At this point, the public and the private, the bodily and the spiritual, are to be as one, both in business diligence and spiritual fervency. We are to set the Lord always before us. Our every is to be consecrated into priestly service. Our inward fervor is to be like temple incense. And so our blessing of the Holy Spirit, we are ever to remain serving the Lord. Hallelujah. Both business diligence and spiritual fervency. So whatever I'm doing, every seed, I'm excelling in it. It must be clear to everyone that I'm excelling in it. Because what brings God? That is our response to God. And as we respond to God in that way, other people are affected. This elderly friend of mine used to work somewhere. And one day some people visited me, and he is such a disciplined, diligent worker. And some people came to see me and told me that they were working at that place. I asked him, do you know this man? Very elderly people. Hey, let us stand. Respect they had for him. Hallelujah. Why? Because the man is diligent. The man is blind in whatever he's doing. And the kind of testimonies they shared about him. Would that when someone talks about me somewhere, when somebody hears my name, he can say those beautiful words about me. Would that somebody comes to your office and goes back, wow. I met a lady in one shop, this garages, and then they had to work on my car, and there were all kinds of delays, and then and the manner in which she acted swiftly, I just looked at her like this, and I said, well, if I had the opportunity, I'll employ you. I would love to work with you. Could somebody say that of you after observing you? I mean, the person I'm talking about, observing her for about 30 minutes to 1 hour. The diligence with which she was working, it was amazing. It was amazing. I didn't ask her whether she was a Christian or not. Do you know that some people are scared of increase? Some people are scared employing Christians. Because they have employed Christians, and those Christians have messed up. Sad. It is sad. Because our service honors the Lord. Our service is worship. So when we come here and we sing those beautiful songs with those angelic voices, And we don't practicalize it wherever we find ourselves, it's nothing before the Lord. In fact, God at times continues that these people, they are just making noise. So even what we call worship become noise before the Lord. Because God is looking for that aroma that comes from our practical service. That service that will cause people to praise God genuinely. I have, and this lady I'm talking about, you know, I had gone there concerning the car. I mean, some trotter driver messed up my car. And then I sent it to the workshop. And it had been there for months, nobody working on it. Met this lady. Within a period of 2 days, I had my car. Imagine how give God around that was boring people to use. Imagine how like, I will give thanks to God as a result of that service. Hallelujah. And so this is real worship unto the Lord when we find ourselves in God with whatever gifts he has given us. And please, even as we serve God, one of the things we must remind ourselves of is that our service must not be in competition, but in cooperation with other people. There seems to be so much competition in Christendom. I've done it better. That is not what God is looking for. All that God is looking for is faithfulness. And the way Paul puts it, listen, he says, don't think of yourself so highly. Judgment. And even goes to the extent of saying that consider other people as better than yourself. Hallelujah. for the humility with which we come to. Today, there are people who are serving God in various ways, and the noise they make out of it, may God forgive us. I heard a story of one of my students, and I loved this student because I believe that God had given him a gift to use. But then it happened that because people were praising him, pride set in. A mate of his invited come and in the half night. And when he came for the half night, this mate was going to, he came with an entourage. I've forgotten the name they called them. Armor bearers. Armor bearers. Friends, there are a lot of things going on in our country, and we need to be very careful. Let me digress a little from what I'm saying. One of these armor bearers came to do our course at Trinity. And the head pastor that he was bearing, he had even to leave his family to go and be with the head pastor almost 24/7. And this man decided to come and improve himself by coming to school. And the head pastor is angry. Yes. That's the armor bearer. This gentleman I'm talking about came with armor bearers and so on and so forth. When his own mate who knew him was going to introduce him, one of the armor bearers said that no, you're the one to introduce him. I'm going to do that. And in the introduction is one appellation upon appellation. I mean, and at the end of the day, this minister was telling me that they didn't really feel the presence of God in that meeting. And the members were saying that was awful. If you have done it yourself, it would even have been better for us. You know, sometimes because of giving us a certain gift, we think that we are over and above everyone. I think that it's true that the more you mature in Christ, the more you become humble. Numbers, this verse always escapes me. Is it 13? It is said that Moses was far more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. Just think about it. I mean, sometimes I reflect on it this way. Moses was a person who had an experience. Nobody else has had that experience in this world before. Nobody else. He saw God in bodily form. No one has ever seen God in bodily form, only Moses. And yet, this is the testimony of the Bible concerning Moses, far more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. If Moses were one of today's prophets, can you imagine what would happen? So friends, if we have God with the gift that God has given us, we don't do that competing with each other. Because it's not about us anyway, it's about God. And so whatever we are doing, even when we have done what we have to do, we come to him, we are only unworthy, haven't done what we are supposed to do. Because what we are doing for the Lord can never be compared to the redemption that we have received. How come I boast? And Paul will ask the question, what do you have that you did not receive? Even the gift that you are using doesn't belong to you. It is God who has given it to you for the sake of his glory. And so why do you want to boast about it? Friends, this evening, all we want to draw our attention to is the fact that worship is not only singing songs of praise, but we worship God also. Service could briefly say we are involved in those things we do in the church, but service also includes those things we do outside the church, wherever we find ourselves. And let us not forget that definition of the church, the community of people who are both participants in and agents of God's creative and redemptive activity. God has created us and redeemed us. And now he has made us agents that through us, he would continue to work in this world. I pray that it will be God's hand. You may be God's feet. Another person may be God's eye. Another may be God's nose. That even as we avail ourselves in us, with us, and through us, God will be working his purpose out in the world, transforming the world. That is our worship to the Lord. So may we worship God to our service. Amen. Amen. Let us rise and pray together. And very briefly, ask yourself this question. Wherever you find yourself, how are you serving the Lord? Are you being the hands and the feet, the eyes, the ears of the Lord? We serve God by the complete dedication of our bodies, our minds, and our will. Have we completely dedicated these to the Lord? Is there anything the Lord is telling you, you in particular? Is there any change of mind he wants you to have? Is there any action the Lord will want you to take? Any move the Lord will want you to make? But I do believe that the visions that many of us have been having concerning this church is from the Lord. That God has something to do with this church. If indeed we owe allegiance to him, if indeed we would obey him, if indeed we will take up the responsibility that he is giving us, you can't imagine the transformation that will begin to take place. And it often starts gradually and extends. God has done it in several places. A small meeting somewhere in Britain led to the abolition of the slave trade. People reflecting on their faith decided to act differently. Where are you serving? Do you just take the work you are doing as something that you do for money? Or don't you realize that it's part of God's activity in the world and he has made you an agent? Are you a worthy agent of the Lord? Can God count on me? Can God count on you? In a moment, just quickly pour your heart to him. Let's pour our hearts to him. Can you make a commitment to the Lord to make a difference? And let us bring our prayers together in this song. Famiye ni awope. Famiye niya wope mi o boja ho sumfo wode wo bojanato e rase fami nyawo pe famiye famiye ne wo pe ampara miye wo boja sumfo oh wo de wo boja na atomia erade famiye nya wo oh wo de wo wo de wo Amia erade famiye nyawo. We'll take it for the last time. Famiye nyawo pe. Oh, famiye nyawo pe. Miyawo roja songo. Ajinkwe wo. And so, Lord, this evening we come to humbling ourselves to you. We consider the redemption you have wrought for us through Christ. And Lord, you call us to respond to you by dedicating our bodies, our minds, and our will to you. By faithfully utilizing all the gifts and the graces that you have given to us. Lord, forgive us for the fact that we have not seen the way to do our service to you. We pray that, Lord, help us to renew our minds. Help us to commit ourselves. And that together with Frances Abagel, we can say that take every aspect of our lives and our being and use us in whichever way you want to use. Granting us we serve you faithfully, either in the priestly service, as in liturgia, or in diaconia, the practical acts of service in the world. Grant that, Lord, we'll be worthy instruments in your hands, through whom, Lord, you will continue to recreate your world, through whom you will continue to redeem your people. And so we are before you. We submit ourselves to you. And we ask that, Lord, take us, mold us, shape us, and use us for your own purposes. We submit our will to you, that, Lord, we may be instruments in your hands that we use to glorify yourself. That is our worship unto you. May we genuinely worship you through our practical acts of service. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Son. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for hearing us. Amen. Please resume your seat.
Today we are going to have just two questions. So, anyone with questions?
That's okay.
The agent part of the ministry, we easily take the salvation, as you said,
yeah,
and be happy. But the agent part of it, how do you think it's been subdued so much in the word that we are taught? In other words, is the church putting a lot of emphasis, or the emphasis, that it is not enough to just receive your salvation and relax, but as an integral part of it, you are to be an agent. You must be the leg, the mouth, the of. Do you think the church is doing adequately well on that aspect? Thank you.
Okay. I would say that some churches are doing it. But unfortunately, some not. I was blessed to attend a conference which they call Disciple Making Institute, organized by a church in Korea, Sarang Community Church. Sarang means love. It's a Presbyterian church. And before I attended the conference, the person who started the church, he's passed on to glory now. It's called John Oak. He has a book titled Call to Awaken the Laity. And so we had to read that book before attending the conference. John Oak has a statement in his book which is very revealing. He says, ministry does not belong to the order, it belongs to the laity. And the responsibility of the ordained is to equip the laity to do ministry. But it looks like we have so much professionalized ministry. And so even if I stand here and I say, church agents, who are those who immediately come to your mind? The priest, right? Other full-time workers of the church. We don't see the whole of the laity coming from the word love, the people of God, as agents. And so what this church has been doing has been emphasizing discipleship that is intended to make everybody know that when I'm saved, that is not the end of it. I'm supposed to be an instrument for you to continue his work. Interestingly, when I attended that conference about 6 years ago, their number was 72,000. And then 2 years later, we had some missionaries visiting us from LIC, and we're told that within 2 years has increase from 72 to 96,000, one congregation. And it's because what they are doing, all that they are doing is that they are equipping. So every member, and it's very interesting what they do. The moment you come to the church, you have to go through discipleship training. To be a leader who will lead people in discipleship training, you have to do leadership training. You will have training for 2 years consistently. And those who come to the discipleship training, their leaders are so concerned that when you go to church on Sunday, you have to do a summary of the sermon and bring it so that the leader will mark. They are so serious about it. And they work with small groups. And the leaders, so 6-7 people are in a small group with the leader. The leader would have had 2 years training in order to be able to do that. And that is all they are doing, that they continue to multiply. But we have concentrated, a lot of our teaching have concentrated a lot of things on pastor, the priests, and so on. And the the teaching of the Bible is that everyone must walk in ministry. And so I think that we really need to rethink that. Recently, I was with those who are Methodists may know about the weekly Bible lesson, what we use for our class meetings. I'm part of the team that has been working on it. In fact, they are in Kumasi now. The next half year, I'm here because of this program and some other issues. Recently, I was telling the nearly for the weekly Bible lesson, we're getting the lessons from outside somewhere. And we said, look, this doesn't suit us. Let's begin working on things that benefit us. And recently, I was telling them that we may have to begin looking at the almanac again. The common lectionary we use and the things that informs our sermons, do they really meet our needs? I was thinking that, saying that we should begin to rethink these things again. So I think that to a large extent, in some places, played down on the role of members as agents of the Lord. And so we are not equipping them to do what they have to do. But it is not so in every church. Even here in Ghana, I do know that some churches are serious with that. And we can also begin to pick it up. Thank you. One more question, if there is. Yes, there's a hand up here. Mama wants to.
Somebody said that the pastors, they are shepherds.
Yes.
The congregation, we are the sheep. And it's only sheep breed other sheep.
Mm.
The shepherd is a human being. He doesn't breed sheep.
Mm.
So we are the sheep to breed. And I think what you
That's
saying,
a beautiful analogy.
Yeah.
And so for the sheep to be able to breed more sheep, the sheep needs the shepherd to pay the kind. Thank you, Mama. Thank you and God bless you. We'll meet again next week.